For bodily exercise profits a little. It's good for you. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. In other words, the Bible is not saying we shouldn't exercise. Actually, the Bible encourages us to exercise. It says it's profitable, it's good. But don't think about exercising, you're still going to die. Now, it might determine how, you know, when you die, but you're going to still die. And what Paul is saying to us, practice exercise physically, but you should also exercise spiritually. Because he says that your spiritual exercise will profit you not only in this life, but in the life to come. In other words, he's saying to you and I that we're more than just a physical being, that we are a spiritual being. And he says also that this life is great, but this life is not all there is. That there's a life after here. And that if you're not prepared for that life after here, I don't care how healthy you are, it does you no good if you die without Jesus Christ. And so we want to practice spiritual disciplines here, and we want to understand that we don't just want to be a church full of people. We want to be a church full of the Holy Spirit, full of God. Because it's easy to draw a crowd of people, but it's more difficult to grow a crowd of people into Christ's likeness. And one thing that I don't ever want to do is have a whole bunch of people that nobody knows how to read their Bible, nobody knows how to pray, nobody knows how to share their faith. We don't make God the center of our life. He's just a part of our life, not the center. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ wants to be the center of your life, not just a part of your life. He wants you to add him to, okay, I added Jesus, I'm good. He wants to be the center. And what I mean by a center, that everything in your life revolves around Jesus. Now, I know for us, it's hard for us to hear that. As adults, especially us who are parents and have kids. Because one thing that almost, when you start having kids, when you have babies, guess what happened? Your life revolves around what? That baby. I mean, when it cries, guess what you do? You answer. And it lets you know when it's hungry, you better do something. But I want you to understand, parents, that your life should not revolve around your children. I want you to understand, because they're hopefully going to grow up and leave one day. And if you spend all your time investing all your time into your children and not into God, matter of fact, the best gift that you can ever give your kids, you say, okay, I know what I can give them. I can give them a college fund. Or I can give them, my inheritance, nice 401k. There's nothing wrong with those things. But parents, hear me this. If you fail to give your kids Jesus, you have harmed them for eternity. If you fail to center their life around Jesus, you have done something that is hard to come back from. If you don't tell them about Jesus Christ, if you don't show them by your personal action what it means to have Jesus Christ to center your life, you have really going to really hurt them as they grow up. Because believe it or not, your kids are going to be just like you. Most of the time, you're gonna disciple your kids to be just like you, and what you care about, guess what? They're gonna care about. Not all the time, but most of the time. This guy that I read his book, and he was saying the reason why he became a Christian and the reason why Jesus Christ became the center of his life. You know what really made him say, "What made me do that?" He said, "I was growing up when I was 6 years old, and I seen my parents make Jesus the center of their life. I just thought that's what you do." He said, "I just assumed that everybody did that because my parents did that. Jesus Christ was the center of their life, and I saw it, and it just made me want Jesus to be the center of my life." He said, "At 7 years old, I became a Christian because my mom and dad made Jesus Christ the center of their life." And now his guy is a PhD. He teaches seminary, PhD. Walking with God. He says, "I did it because of my parents." The power that we have as parents is undeniable. So we want to understand that. And I was reading a book called Sticky Church by Larry Osborne. And he said, the best thing that a pastor can give to children in his church is a growing mom and dad who loves Jesus. He says that most churches focus so much on kids program, kids this, kids that, and they forget about the adults. And he says, what you're doing, you got to understand the most powerful influence in those kids' life are their parents. And if you don't teach their parents to walk with God and to practice spiritual disciplines, those kids are not going to follow you, Pastor. They're going to follow their mom and daddy. And when they become older, they're going to walk away from the church because they know that mom and daddy just come every now and then, so we're going to come every now and then. He says, but if you teach their mom and dad how to practice spiritual disciplines, how to pray, how to read their Bible, how to make Jesus Christ the center of their lives, they said that the kids will see that and they will begin to mimic that. Not all the time, but you got a better possibility that when they're older, they won't return. I mean, they won't leave, you know, they'll come back to it because they have seen it. So we're going to talk about those things. Now, how many of you know that exercising is tough? Now, most of us, next year, you're going to make what? A New Year's what? Right. Come on now, you've been with me, right? Now, and most of you out there, don't raise your hand, but you know it. You've already said to yourself, man, after this Christmas, that's it for me. I mean, I'm going to get me a treadmill. I'm going to go out there and start walking. I mean, I'm going to lose these pounds. And you know, I'm going to do it, right? Now, what happens right about midnight, right after you make that resolution? It's over with. Done. The next day, you've already fallen off the wagon. Well, I try it next year, right? It happens. And you know, so you just say, wow, maybe I try. You always try. Now, how many of you know you try to do something? You try to exercise. You say, man, I get up in the morning. Maybe a week it goes well. Then after that second week, you're like, oh, I'll do it one day a week. Before you know it, just that treadmill becomes what? Something you hang clothes on. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. So I know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching right now. So I wanted us to help ourselves with this. We want to have spiritual muscles, right? Now, if I ask you, besides the one on your outline, if I ask you, because our spiritual discipline we're going to talk about today is prayer. If I ask you to name for me another spiritual discipline, can anybody name five of them? If I said, name me some spiritual discipline that as a disciple you should be practicing. Could you set up and name five? Can anybody dare to do that? Fasting?
Giving?
What else?
Serving?
What else? Serving, giving, fasting?
Prayer.
Oh, see, I gave you one. What is it? Reading your Bible. Now, we just named five, right? Now, out of those five we just named, don't raise your hand this time. The other five we named, could you really say, hey, man, I practice those a lot? Or you might say, man, I'm not there. I might get one out of the five, but I don't practice these like as often as I should. You say that. I mean, and that's okay. This is not to make you feel guilty. It makes us to know where we are. Because I can say, yeah, I don't practice those as I should. I can raise my hand and say, no, I don't do that as I should. But the key is to ask ourselves, why don't we do that, and how can we get better at it? Now, one thing that I know that most people struggle with is prayer, right? Some people struggle with prayer. You know, if you ask somebody, hey, can you come up here and grab the mic and can you pray in public? Many people not coming to the stage, they're going to the bathroom. They're going to be afraid to pray. Or you say, because many people struggle with that, and we understand that. So what I want to help you do today is focus on the first spirit discipline we're going to talk about is prayer. And really, prayer is much simpler than we think. It's not as hard as we make it out to be. It's really much simpler than we think. So as we get ready to get into the Word of God, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and when you find it, please stand with me. If you don't have a Bible, the ushers will get you one, but we want you to look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now, how many of you know that Jesus Christ was a praying man? Prayed a lot, right? Wouldn't you agree? Now we talked about in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ was 100% what? God, right? And 100% man. But we just said he was a praying person, right? Now, how many of you submit to you, how many of you would agree with me that if Jesus prayed a lot, and he was God, how much more should we? Much more, right? Now, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should pray. And so Jesus Christ had his disciples, and they asked him a question. Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's something we should be asking God every day. Lord, teach us to pray. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he would not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Open our hearts and our ears to your truth. May it transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Prayer is much simpler than we think. So when we talk about prayer, when we think about prayer, we want to have a definition. What is prayer? What is prayer? It's simply talking to God. Now, when we talk to God, we're talking to a loving God who cares for us and longs to respond to our deepest needs / desires. Prayer is simply talking to God, communicating with him. God wants you to talk with him. And because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross and his resurrection, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and we can talk to God at any time. Now, Jesus' disciples wanted to pattern their life after Jesus. Now, that's a good thing because, as a disciple, we should be trying to follow and pattern our life after Jesus. And one thing the scripture says is they saw him, they heard him, and they saw him praying. And when he's finished, they said, Lord, teach us to do exactly what you just did. Now, I believe that Jesus' prayer so impressed them and overwhelmed them, and they said, Lord, we want to do what you just did. We want to talk to God just like you talk to God. Because they say, here is Jesus talking to God as if he is his father. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now, John the Baptist had disciples, and he taught them to pray. So if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we want Jesus to teach us how to pray. And when I made that definition, I talked about understanding that God is a loving God. He cares for us. And he longs to respond to our deepest needs / desires. Now, when you hear that, people say God will only answer your needs. Well, I want to just clear that for you. God does answer your needs. He does answer. But God is so good. He's like a father. He will answer even your desires. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, most of us in here, yes, you might not believe it, but practically speaking, there is something that you have that you didn't need, but God gave it to you. You didn't need it. He gave it to you, right? As David says, my cup runs over. Now, I have three kids. Now, all they really need is some clothes, maybe one pair of pants, one pair of shoes, one shirt. I mean, as long as it's clean, right? I mean, and some food, right? But I want you to know that my kids have more than one pair of shoes. Now, one of my kids has a lot of shoes. I ain't going to say it would name nameless. I mean, they have like three or four pair of like brand new. I mean, listen, almost brand new. Now, that child didn't need those shoes. As a matter of fact, now to be honest with you, that child didn't even ask me for them. To be honest with you, didn't ask me. I was in the store walking, minding my own business, came in there for me. And I left out there empty-handed for me, but something for the other child. Have you ever been to the store, came in for you, and you leave out with nothing but, you know, bags in your hand, but nothing for you in the bag, but for your kids? But no, that child didn't ask, I just say, hey, you know what, I think you might like those, there you go. Now, if I would do that for my children, how much more would God do that for you? God gives you something that you don't even need. He just will meet your desires. He has done that for me in my life. There's something I just don't need, but I have it. There's some things God said, I'll just give you that. Just because I'm a good God. Read the story of Solomon. Solomon, God came to Solomon and said, listen, a blank check. He said, write what you want, Solomon. I'll give it to you. Just write what you want to check. You know what Solomon asked for? Lord, just give me wisdom.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, give me wisdom to lead your people because I'm a young man. I'm a young king. Give me wisdom to lead your people. You know what God said? You know what? I'm going to give you that, Solomon.
Yes.
But on top of that, I'm going to make you the richest man that ever lived. He said, because you didn't ask for your enemy's life, you didn't ask for riches for yourself, I'm going to give it to you. That no man would ever be as rich as you. So God gave Solomon wisdom and money. What did Solomon ask for? Just wisdom. And God gave him more than he asked for. God will give you more than you asked for. God will meet your needs. But he also will meet your desires. So let no one tell you God won't do that. He will answer your desires. God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I hope you ain't playing no crazy stuff. Let's clear that up. Don't mean crazy stuff. But you know what I mean. He will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says, to do what? To delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. And hopefully my desires are God's desires. But he will give it to you. That's good stuff. So when we think about prayer, the most important thing that we can do, accomplishing point number one is this. The most important thing we can accomplish for God is prayer. The most important thing we can accomplish for God is prayer. Now, I like what Ian Bounds writes about prayer. And he says this, in order for God's work to actually progress to completion, there are two basic principles, God's ability to give and people's ability to ask. Failure in either one would be fatal to the success of God's work on earth. So in other words, he's saying to us that we have responsibility and God has one. We have responsibility to ask and God's responsibility to give. So when it comes to doing God's work, we have to ask and God's responsibility to give. So the greatest thing we can do to accomplish God's work is prayer. I want you to know that nothing ever happens without prayer. See, before you do any work for God, you better pray to God. I want you to understand something. If this church is ever going to succeed and do anything, it will have to be built upon the foundation of prayer. If you try to do anything, attempt anything spiritually for God without talking to God, it's bound to fail. We must pray. And I want you to understand something. This is true. Disciples of Christ are to be people of prayer. We are to be people of prayer. Do you know what Jesus said? That his house should be called, God's people's house should be called? He didn't say a house of singing. He didn't say a house of preaching. He said a house of prayer for all the nations. And the one thing we can't do without at a worship service is prayer. So we are to be defined as people who pray and pray to God. And we can only do that because of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. Do you know that the Bible says in Matthew that when Jesus Christ died, it says that the veil in the temple was torn in two. But it was torn from top to bottom. And it signifies that it was God who tore the veil. Now you say, well, what's so important about that? Well, the temple represented the presence of God. And the tabernacle and the holy of holies, the most holy place, represented the place where only God dwelled. And you know, if you know your Bible, your history, that the high priest could only enter the most holy place one time a year, and he couldn't come empty-handed. He had to come with the sacrifice, blood, to sprinkle on the altar. And it says that when Jesus Christ died, that veil was torn in two, and it symbolizes that the place that God, that Jesus Christ had made a way that we could come boldly before his throne anytime, day or night. And the Bible says that you and I are now high priests. That you can come before God anytime, day or night. He's never too busy for you. He is never too busy for you. But the problem is, we are probably most of the time too busy for God. If the truth be told, we are too busy for God. I get around to it, God. I pray when I get the time. I read my Bible when I have enough time. I come to church when I have time. I will share my faith when I have. I will give money to the church when I have. See how we make God an inconvenience? Now, saying those words, would you agree with me that when we say those words, would you agree with me that Jesus Christ is then not the center of our lives? When we say that, we're saying, Jesus Christ, you're not the center. Whatever is taking up my time is what? The center of my life. But the only problem with that is, when things start going bad, things start shaking up, guess what happens then? You have enough time. And this message is to help us all. We all have been guilty of that. I've been guilty. You say, man, how can a preacher be guilty not to pray? Okay, I'm telling you. You can get so busy doing things for God, you can forget about God. And if you ever try to do any work without God, you're in trouble. Many preachers have fallen because they're doing God's work without God. They're not praying. They're using their education, their ingenuity, their lack of ability. Do you know? I'm going to give you some insight. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to pull the curtain back for you. Do you know that I'm at a point now, honestly, really, because I've studied the Bible. I got a bachelor's in theology, a master's. I can get up here and teach the Bible to you without praying. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I really could. I could get up here and open the Bible up, and I could take you, read a passage, and I could explain it to you, break it down to you, and give you 3 points. And you would think, man, wow. But that was the Lord. No, that's the Lord's word. God's word is always true. See, God can use anybody. But what will happen over time is the fact that, you see how when preachers begin to fall, you say, well, how did that happen? How did that preacher get up there preaching every Sunday and left his wife? Spiritual disciplines, no prayer, no prayer time, no accountability. It can happen. So what you want me to do more than preach to you, you want me to pray. That's what you want me to do. You say, yeah, go pray. Because we understand that prayer is the lifeline. Prayer is the spiritual organ of the body of Christ. We need that. So we need to understand that we need to be people of prayer. You need it, I need it. For your marriage, you need prayer. For your children, you need prayer. For your job, you need prayer. And when we don't pray, it shows our independence upon ourselves. And point number two is this. Prayer shows our dependence upon God. Prayer shows our dependence upon God. And it's so important because it says right here, it says that when we come to God, Jesus says you come to God as a what? Father. He says, come to your father. And I don't know about you, children are dependent upon their parents. Right? I mean, they are. Children are dependent upon their parents. Now, kids get older, they grow up, they're not dependent upon you anymore. But for us, we never outgrow our Heavenly Father. We're all still dependent upon Him for all that we need. And I like John Piper's quote here. He says that prayer is God's delight because it shows the riches of our poverty and the riches of His grace. In other words, he says that when we pray, we're telling God we are poverty stricken. We need you. So when we pray, we're saying, God, we need you to intervene some way, somehow. And God's riches and His grace to answer our prayer. Now, when you don't pray, what are you saying? God, I don't need you. I got this covered. I got my education. I got my job. I got my health. I got my spouse. I got my children. I call you when I need you. Go help them out. I'm okay. So when we don't pray, we're saying, God, we don't need you. Let us not be a prayerless church. Let us not be prayerless people. God wants us to pray. We must approach prayer as coming to a loving Father. Now, I know for some people, it's hard to even imagine God as being a father. Because some people grew up without a father. Or if you had one, you grew up with one that wasn't loving. Always said no. Or maybe lied to you. Told you, yeah, I get you that. And guess what? You never got it. And you remember, like, wow, He promised me that. God isn't like that. He's a loving Father. And I want you to understand that when we pray to God, the glory of God should be our chief aim. Look in verse 2 what Jesus says when we come to the Father. He says, when you pray, say, Father, Father, hallowed be your name. That means glory to your name. Your kingdom come. That talks about God's glory. Do you know that God answers our prayers for His glory? Do you know that God wants us to brag upon Him? God wants us to testify. Say, I needed this and I prayed and God showed up and answered that prayer. I mean, remember back in the days you have testimony time? I mean, you pray about something. I didn't know how I was going to make it. I had no money. I didn't have anything. And all of a sudden, somebody came by the house with a bag of groceries. That's the glory of God. God shows up. God wants to be glorified in your life through prayer. God wants to be glorified even when He heals us. When you pray, you are sick. Someone's sick, and you pray for them, and says, then God heals them. God says, I do that for my glory. The Bible says that Lazarus was dead. Mary and Martha sent to Jesus and said, hey, the one you love is sick, and he is about to die. But then Jesus didn't come. Stayed a while. And they asked him, why did you not come? He says, this is for the glory of God. He said, matter of fact, I want this to happen so I can show up and show them now how great I am. Jesus said in John chapter 9, there was a young man born blind. And now the disciples asked Jesus, why did this happen? Why was this person born blind? Who sinned, him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. This was done so that the glory of God can be revealed in his life. See, there's something that God allows you to go through so that when he brings you out, you will bring him glory. You'll give him glory. So there's something about when God allows you to be in need, to be in want, and then when he actually provides for you, you say, he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He wants you, so then when you're sick in your body, and then God heals you and brings you out, he wants you to say, you know what? I was sick, and the doctor said I wasn't going to make it, but God, somebody prayed for me, and God healed me and brought me out. He is a healer. So God wants us to pray to him. God longs to answer our prayer. There are some prayers right now that go unanswered. See, I don't leave no prayers on the table. When I die, I want all my answers. I want him saying, you know what? If you'd asked for that, I'd have gave you that. You didn't ask for it. I won't leave no prayers on the table. I want all of them answered for the glory of God. And that's what it says, your kingdom come. Jesus said, glorify the Father and focus on his kingdom. It's all about the kingdom of God also, accomplishing his will. And we also have to pray. He says, give us each day our word, daily bread. We pray for daily provision. You say, wait a minute, I don't need daily bread. I got bread in the freezer already, right? I got a whole bunch of bread in there. Okay, let the power go out. Let the power go out for about 2 days. You'll be praying for some daily bread. But what he's saying, even when you got that bread in your refrigerator, who gave it to you? God provided for you. He said, wait a minute, I work. I got education. No, God gave you the health to work. He gave you the mind to go to school. He gave you the will. God gave you all those things. Everything you have belongs to God. God, give us daily provision. And most important, Jesus said, forgive us of our sins. We need to have our sins forgiven. So we come to God asking God, forgive us. Do disciples of Jesus sin? Yes, we do. But God is glorified to forgive us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus says, when you pray, ask God to forgive your sins and also forgive others. How does God forgiving my sins bring him glory? Because God is a redeemer. God is a redeemer. No matter how far you fall, no matter what you've done, God stands ready and willing to forgive you. And sometimes God wants you to tell people, you know what, I was going through this, I did this, and God forgave me, because he knows the fact that somebody out there in the audience who may be going through the same exact thing, and they wonder, wow, God can forgive that? Yes, he can. He forgave me. And he will forgive you. You know, in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, when his high priest prayed, say, God, glorify me as I glorify you. He said, you know what, Jesus' death was horrible. But Jesus said that this cross is going to glorify God. He says, by me being beaten and bloodied and hung on the cross, that brings God's glory. How can something so vile and wicked bring God's glory? Because Jesus Christ was in the will of God. At that very moment, he was doing the will of God. So pray that God will also give you guidance. Now, this is something that we as Christians really, really need to take to heart. He says, and lead us not into temptation. We need to pray God will guide us. God, give us direction. God, be our spiritual compass. Be our spiritual GPS. Because the Bible says also in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean upon your own understanding and all your ways. Do what? Acknowledge him and he will do what? Make your path straight. And most of us, sometimes, we don't ask God for advice. I said before, when you read, I would tell you, you should not join this church unless God told you to. You should be praying, right? You should be praying, God, lead me now. I said again, every sheep needs a shepherd, right? And every Christian needs to be a part of a church. You should be praying, God, lead me to a church. So you should be here. If God called you here, you should be here. And you should get busy while you're here, right? And you should only leave when God tells you what? To go. Now, how many of us really practice that? We ain't prayed to come, we ain't prayed to leave. Because listen, I'm telling you this right here. If God has told me to come here, to be on the walls, and the pastor to be on the walls, I should be here as long as God wants me here, correct? Amen. Do you agree? Amen. Okay, say this happened. Just hypothetically. I'm preaching here, you guys are here, and a church calls me up. Say, hey, brother, we heard you on that Beyond the Walls website, and you are a theologian. I mean, you know, a theologian. And you're quite handsome, too. So, and they say, you know what? We want you to come and pastor our church. And guess what? We heard you from Georgia. You know what it said? It's in Atlanta. And you can come. And matter of fact, we got a nice, healthy salary for you, too. About six figures. We're going to move you and your family. As a matter of fact, we heard your wife can sing too. We're going to put her on staff singing. And I say, you know what? We out of here. This must be from God. Right? Now, if I, let me be honest with you. Now, if I did, if I came in on Sunday and I did that and told y'all, that, listen, we out of here. Today is our last day. We out of here. We gone tomorrow. How would you feel about me? I mean, I'll be honest. How would you feel about that? You wouldn't be like, Brad, you didn't pray? No, I don't need to pray. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense, right? But it's making dollars, right? So it makes sense, right? I don't need to pray. But do you know? Now, you say, I couldn't believe he would do that. Do you know that church members do that every single Sunday? But if I did it, something wrong with it. But you do it, hey, it must be from God. Not everything is from God. Not everything, money is not always a reason to go anywhere. Because all money ain't good money. You know what I'm talking about, right? All money ain't good money, right? So you need God's guidance. God, what you have me to do? Because like this guy said this, Johnny Hunt said, it's amazing to me that pastors, when they ever leave a church, they always leave for a bigger church. God never calls them to a smaller church. It's amazing to me. It's always going bigger. It's always, I got 500, God told me to go to 25. He said, I never heard somebody say, you know what? I had 25 members, God told me to go, 2,500, God told me to go to a 25-member church. He said, that don't make sense, huh? He said, but you know what? God might call you to do that. Or God might call you to stay at a place where you might think, hey, I can go somewhere else and do this. But it's about praying for God's will. What are you thinking about doing right now? You haven't even prayed about it. God told many people take no concern about whether joining the church or leaving the church. They don't even pray. But God's concerned about that too. Your spiritual well-being is so important to you. God cares about that. And you should be so concerned about every place that me and Lynette has ever moved in the military, we prayed about joining the church. I can tell you. One of our top three was good school, but we want to make sure it's a good neighborhood, good school, but we found a church to attend. We never been out of church. Now, I'm not saying because we're holy. No, I'm saying I need the body of Christ. Lord knows I need church. Because it was a priority in our lives. And one day we was talking, me and Demetri was talking one day, and he just says out of the blue. He said, Dad, I can count on one hand how many times we missed church. Now, he was 14 when he said that. He said, I can count how many times on one when I mean, we actually didn't go to church. It's been a part of our lives. Now, when he said that to me, I told him why. And because, son, when your dad was 25, when me and your mother were about to go through a divorce, God saved me. He saved me. So I remember that. And so I tell him, I said, because of God saved me, I told God I would do something. I told God, if you save me, I will raise my children to know you. And I said that I want to keep my promise to God. That's why I won't let you tell me you're not going to church. Because I told God I would raise you to know him. Now I'm going to do my part. I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I'm going to tell you. Because I remember where I was at my lowest point, and God answered my prayer. He restored my marriage. He restored my reputation. Had no money. God took care of us. So why would I not serve a God like that? And many people could care less about Jesus. And he says, all I want you to do is pray and seek me out. Now, have my kids missed out on anything by coming to church? No. I think in some reason God has blessed them in areas. Whether people wondering why, how could that be? I'm like, just God does it. God will give you desires of your heart. I'm telling you, I can tell you what I know. I can tell you from fact that God will bless you. And I tell my children, you are blessed because of your mom and daddy. There's some blessing that you get because of me. Yeah. I told them, I said, some things you get, the blessing in your life come because of me. Yeah. God's been, I've been faithful to God, and God's blessed you, son. God's given you some things that I never had. God's giving you things that I wish I could. When I was a kid, I wish I had his athletic ability. I don't have it. I didn't give it to God. Didn't give it to me, but He gave it to him. He didn't ask for it. God gave it to him. I said, because I prayed for you, son. Something you just had, just because God says I'm gonna give it to you. And I'm telling you that for a reason, because I talk to many people all the time. I'm not. This is not on my notes, but it's in my heart. I talk to people all the time. Parents, kids. And this happened one time, and it was so amazing. We was on the football field one. I think Demetrius was about like 8 years old, 9 years old. So I'm standing there, you know, mind my own business. And you know how parents, you know, how dads do. We watching our kids, and we sized up the parents. So, okay, who's your daddy? Okay, well, you ain't be about nothing. So one day, I'm just out there mind my own business, and the guy says to me, hey, which one is your son? I saw that one right there. And he looked at me, looked at him, looked at me like, okay. I mean, but I knew he was thinking. He was, you're a little short, little run. Why, what happened? And he said to me this. Somebody says to me, man, you must be really proud of him. And I was like, well, not really. I mean, he ain't really doing him running the football. That's not. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's great, but it's not what me and his mother really focus on. I'm more proud of him that he is a good kid. You know, just loves God. I mean, what I'm trying to say for this is the fact that all my kids, not just Demetrius, but God's blessed them all. My daughter, you know, God's blessed Demetrius with she can paint. But one thing she never had, she's never been boy crazy. She's never been boy crazy. Praise God for that too, yeah. But she hasn't though. She's not boy crazy. She's not looking for that, you know. Because I raised her, I always say to her all the time now, that this is what I, now Father, let me help you out with something. This happened to me, and I tried it for a while. It worked till she got 16. She was a baby. I used to say to her, now, Mishina, you're not going to date until you get married. Now, it's kind of weird. You're going to date until you get married, so. Now, I'm telling you, the girl believed it. Now, my wife telling me, it's not going to work. She's not going to believe that. I said, it's going to work. It's going to work. I just kept telling her. I kept telling her. And she went, and people asked her, hey, are you going to date? She said, no, I'm not allowed to date till I get married. They're looking at her. What's wrong with her? So this was going good till she went to high school. Yeah. All bets off. So now in the high school, she come home one day. She tells me, Daddy, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. She said, Daddy, I've been thinking. I think I should date. I said, who told you that? She said, well, I went to school. And he asked me, hey, do you date? She said, no, I don't date. I'm not going to date till I get married. And he said, what's wrong with you? Your dad is crazy. So she said, hey, I think I need to change that. I said, oh, man, that school is evil. But, you know, but then that was, then it messed me. And my wife said, I told you it wasn't going to work. But anyway, but I'm just saying to you, trust God. The things that happen in my life because of prayers, not because of me, because of God. The things that happen in your life because of God. So our third point is this. We must be persistent in prayer. Don't give up in prayer. Keep praying. Now, someone asked me one time ago, Pastor, when should I stop praying for something? I've been praying for this, praying for this, praying for this. When should I stop praying? You stop praying after God's answered that prayer. I'm serious. I mean, really, if you praying for something, then God answered the prayer, then stop praying, start praising. Right? So you ask for a prayer. If God answers the prayer, then you praise him for the prayer, all right? So you keep praying until he gives you an answer. Now, look what it says in this verse, in verse number 5. It says that here's a guy had a friend who came to him at midnight. Now, this guy came to see his buddy at midnight with no money, and he was hungry. So his friend had no food at the house to feed his friend. So he said, okay, I'll go to my friend and get some food. So he goes and knocks on his friend's door at midnight. Hey, this is Joe. Can I get some bread? 3 loaves. And his buddy said, hey, it's late. I can't get up out of bed. My kids are sleeping. You know when you get the baby asleep, you know nobody bothering you, right? You don't want the phone to ring when the baby's asleep, you know. So the baby is sleeping good, and he come knock on the door, and he said, I can't give you anything. And the friend does not take no for an answer. That's rude. I mean, the friend keep asking, man, come on, give me some bread. I know you're in there. I see you. And the friend says, you know what, okay. And he gets up, gives his friend the bread, says, man, leave me alone. Here's the bread, gone. And Jesus said that his friend gave him what he wanted, not because he was his friend. He gave it to him because of his persistence. He gave him what he wanted because he kept nagging him. Now, we got to be careful with this parable, because what we can see, we can believe that Jesus is saying that just keep nagging God and he'll give you what you want. That is not what he is teaching in this parable at all. He's saying to us, we need to be persistent in prayer. But he's not saying that God is like that friend who just keep nagging him and he's going to give you what you want. He says that sometimes God delays answering your prayer. But God's delay is not God's denial. Delay does not mean no. It means not yet. So you keep praying. You keep praying. Because persistence builds character. It builds the character of Christ into your spiritual life. We need to persevere in some things. We give up too easily. We quit too easily. Someone say, prayer don't work for me. That's why I quit praying. I say, you quit too soon. Keep going. We must be persistent in prayer. God is not like the friend who said, don't bother me. God is like a father waiting to say, come, ask of me. And I will give it to you. We don't bother God with our prayers. The good thing is, God never sleeps, never slumbers. So you're not waking God up. He's always awake. God wants us to be persistent in our prayer. What are you praying for? And you're saying it hasn't happened yet. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. For that child who's away from God, keep praying. For that marriage that needs some help, keep praying. Keep trusting God. Because God will answer your prayers. The fourth thing is this. When we pray, we must trust that our Father knows best. Now, kids, listen to this. Your Father does know best most of the time. Your Father, well, actually, let me change that. Mother knows best. Yes. Yeah, mother knows best. So, your parents know best, okay? Trust your parents. And we got to understand that our Father knows what's best. Because Jesus says, what father among you? If your son asked you for something and you knew it was something that for his good, would you say no? If he really needed it, would you? Because he says that what father, if your son asks for fish, that's food, right? If he asks for food, we'll give him a serpent. A serpent does what? Bites you, it poisons you, kills you. He says that if your son needed food, would you not give him, would you give him something that's going to hurt him? You wouldn't do that, right? I mean, if your kid is 7 years old, you say, hey, Dad, can I get those car keys? I'm going to the store, I'll be back. Now, if you say, Dad, here you go. Bring me something back when you get back, too. Are you a good father? No, you don't give your kids the keys at 7 years old, right? So he's saying to him, God is a good God. God will give you what you need. And sometimes what God does says no, he's saying no so he can say yes to something else. He said, I won't give you this, but I will give you this. Now, how many of you know sometimes you pray for something or someone and you're glad that God said no? That first person you thought you was in love with, you want to marry him or her. That's the one for me. And you look back and say, thank God I didn't marry him. He's in prison. I'm serious. I mean, I'm just saying. Or, man, she's woo. Age, man, messed her up. I'm telling you, I thank God for that. I praise and praise the Lord. Thank you for that answering that prayer. So what I'm trying to say, you trust God, okay? Trust God. God gives you what you need, more than you need, right when you need it. He will give you what you need, more than you need, right when you need it. He may not come when you need him, right? But he's always what? On time. And God's provision and prayer is for your good. So what are you asking God for? How is what you're asking God for his glory? How is your prayer life? Is it hidden and missing? Maybe, yes, no. Are you dependent upon God or yourself? So my conclusion is this, to help us to begin to develop the daily exercise of talking with God. Now, exercise is not really good, but exercise your spiritual disciplines and your prayer life will grow stronger. Nothing is impossible to those who pray and trust God. Pray. Spend some time talking with God. And your prayer life will increase. You will get stronger as you pray. And you begin to pray for yourself, but more importantly, you pray for others. That's the key. God help us if we can't pray for someone else. And so I gave you some tips on your outline on the back, some helpful scriptures regarding prayer, and some helpful tips for developing a prayer life. So we're not going to have our small groups this week, but I pray that you will use these to exercise this week. Exercise your spiritual muscles of prayer. And if you start doing those things, you will grow spiritually in your walk with God. As we talk about these spiritual disciplines, if you will incorporate these into your life, you will be spiritually fit. Now, I know there's a new exercise out there called what, CrossFit? People love that stuff, huh? CrossFit. I mean, anybody tried that? I haven't tried that. Nobody in here tried it. Wow. Okay, well, we can worry about anybody physically. We can worry about that one. Okay, well, okay. So let's try these, okay? Try these spiritual disciplines of prayer and watch what God does in your life. Get you a prayer journal. Write down your prayers and write down and go back and see the one that God answers and praise him for. And don't keep it to yourself. Tell us too. We want to praise God with you, all right? So our prayer is that if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you would know him as your Lord and Savior today. My prayer is that people in our church beyond the walls have prayed for one another. That we pray for you. That God will speak to you through his word. God loves us. He loves us a lot. That he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And God wants you to talk to him. Why go through life without talking to your Heavenly Father? Talk to him. He wants you to trust him. Let's pray together. God, we love you. We thank you. I just pray, God, that as we have heard these words, that we will begin to exercise our spiritual discipline of prayer. God, help us to pray as Jesus did. Help us to trust you. Help us to be persistent in prayer. Help us, God, to depend upon you for everything that we need. God, we give you this time. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And one thing we come to praise God for on our first Sunday is our Holy Communion. We come to